Raiders of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
If we don't pass it, here's the guarantee. Your premiums will go up. Your employers are going to load up more costs on you.
How much does it hurt the Democratic effort to pull this thing together?
He was the great scholar of the Depression, and basically he saw...
Schumer's on this flight. He's on his cell phone, apparently talking to Harry Reid.
Did you really write this yourself with a typewriter?
Crutchcraft.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show where reality is the bitch. We tell you not only about the news, we tell you about you. Senator Schumer calls a flight attendant a bitch. You got to watch what you're saying, man, because there's always somebody ready to post it on YouTube or stick it on Twitter or tweet it on Twitter or something. So got to watch what you're talking about. We have an interesting story here relative to climate change, but it's more close to home. And a father and a professional gentleman owns a construction contracting business in Corona, California, Mr. Stephen Bozell, talking about some proposals on the environment. Radical proposals on the environment that he'd like to make, and much of this had to do with the help of his daughter, who's an 11-year-old girl. She goes to a middle school here in Southern California and was, instrumental in making her dad see the light on global warming or global climate change. We'll talk with Mr. Bozell here in a second. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and then we also have, of course, our live streaming video and audio at philhendryshow.com. So if you want to watch us perform our show every night, you can see that at our website. You can listen to it as well, the streaming audio. Our YouTube site is about to get updated within the week so that you're going to see, if you'd like to get a subscription to our live video and audio services, you can take a look at what exactly it looks like when we're doing the show. You'll see me. And I don't even think that it matters, you know, if I'm particularly not handsome or whatever. I don't think that's why you... Why do you watch a radio show? Well, there's no reason to watch a radio show except for ours. Our show is the only radio show worth watching. The other thing that I want to tell you is that this show has a very, very, very loyal following. It has a very rabid following. It has a following of people who get really angry and really upset if we don't do things the way they imagine we should do them. And so we endeavor all the time to do that. So let's get on, Mr. Bozell, here and talk a little bit. Sir, how are you this evening? Thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
And I know that you have been following, a lot of people have been following this climate summit. I will tell you, you and I spoke off the air, I have my doubts. I have a lot of questions. They have not been satisfactorily answered. I don't want to see my country have to be, shall we say, used as some sort of a watermark when it comes to industrialization, and that all the other countries kind of fall into line that are industrialized nations to pay for the smaller countries so that we can stop something that to this day is still debated by a great many people, and that is climate change.
Well, I believe in climate change, and I always will, and I our organization, which is CJN Climate Justice Now, argues something's got to be done to protect the environment against polluters, and I don't want to argue it with you, Mr. Henry. It is science that has been solidly proven. You've heard Vice President Gore, I think, more eloquently say it than ever than I could, and that is that anybody that does not believe in climate change, maybe they should get out a map and check to see if the Earth is flat.
I don't see it that way, but I don't want to debate, whether it's real or not. I want to get into what action you're taking here.
Well, that was my point of coming on your program. I'm not going to I won't debate climate change with anybody because the science is settled. My lawsuit, and I want to take my hat off to you. You're the first person who is a climate denier who's not going to try to argue with me about it.
I'm not saying I'm a climate denier. I'm saying I just want to see. I want to hear more. I want to hear debates. I want to hear good, informed debates. I'd love to. Isn't it true that Vice President Gore is going to debate Sarah Palin? I don't know whether that's a good debate or not. But you know what? I give her her due. She may know more about it than a lot of people think. You know.
Well, I welcome if you're telling me that Al Gore's going to debate Sarah Palin, I welcome that. I welcome that so very much because she will get her lunch handed to her by Al Gore. You better believe it.
All right. So tell me, you are filing a lawsuit, which will be formally filed in federal court on Friday. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Tell me what this is asking.
Our lawsuit asks the court to mandate that the United States government ban the use of plastic grocery bags and the two-ply toilet paper that is very wasteful as a substitute. We'd like to promote the use of reusable bags made from sustainable cloth and washable toilet rags that are washed out at the sink and are not used as disposable. I have to tell you that I was alerted to actions that I could take to save the environment by my own daughter, April, who is an 11-year-old girl. And when she saw a lot of the things that I was doing in my business, my personal life, she had her teacher, Ms. Nister, her name's Karen Nister, call me from the sixth grade class at Corona KC Bendel School. I was informed that to go down to the school, and it was there in front of the class that the children and Ms. Nister, too, pretty much, I think, pretty much humiliated me, and I realized that there was a lot.
Wait, I want to interrupt you. You were informed to come down to the school.
Well, my daughter said to me that I was using a lot of toilet paper and all of this, and we were using paper bags, and I told her, well, that's what Daddy does, and she went down and told her teacher, and
she didn't talk to you about it.
No, she wanted to talk to her teacher about it because the teacher is a member of a larger green organization, and many of the children in the class, their parents already are part of the climate movement. So she went to her teacher, and I got a call from Mrs. Karen Nister. She's a very nice lady, and she told me that she wanted to speak with me and the other students. I asked her about what, and she said that my daughter had told her what I had done.
Well, what had you done, Mr. Bozell, other than the fact you're using too much toilet paper?
Well, that is part of the crime against the environment. I was using not only all that kind of paper and paper bags and everything and not recycling. All of that put together constitutes really a crime, a serious murderous crime, if you will, against our planet. And my daughter, I want to thank my daughter. I really do. I know it sounds probably like I should be angry at her. I'm not. I want to thank my daughter for going down and talking to her teacher and telling her teacher what I had done. And when Nister told me to come to the school, I did. I stood there in front of the class.
Now, I want to hear about this. So your daughter told her teacher, her teacher's part of a larger green movement?
Her teacher's part of the Climate Justice Now, and I became a member.
And the teacher and the kids there in the, now she's, your daughter is 11. What class is that? Okay, she's in the sixth grade. And what did the kids do?
They informed me of what I had done. They told me that my daughter had informed everybody of what I'd done in terms of the different things that I had done right. I'm a little bit nervous right now.
That's all right. You're doing fine.
My daughter had informed them of the different things that I'd done that do cause harm to the environment. On her 10th birthday, we had balloons in the backyard, and I went ahead and let them go because I thought it would be nice to see the balloons. I was informed by Ms. Nister and two of the children in the class that those balloons do eventually settle into the ocean and can harm marine mammals, as well as the use of the paper. I was told that I was a disgrace as a father.
Were you told that by who? By the class?
Understand, Mr. Henry, that I went down there willingly, and you have to understand that every parent sooner or later is going to go through this. Every parent in America is going to go through this, because our children are the ones who are informing us about the environment, and they are either informing us or they will inform their teachers as to what it is that needs to be done.
But I'm very concerned. You were told that you were disgraced by who?
I was told I was a disgrace as a father by not only Miss Nister, but members of the class.
So 11-year-old children are telling you this?
Sir, I know that you're outraged on my behalf, and I felt that way initially, but please understand, Mr. Henry, this is good. Our children are far more in tune with the problems of the environment than we are. I needed this education. I needed to be told what I was doing wrong so that my daughter wouldn't turn against me, my son, and eventually an entire generation of children coming up are going to see us as being obstacles to environmental health. And so I was grateful to my daughter that I could go there and tell them that I was sorry for these things. And the kids told me that I was disgraceful and disgusting as a father, and I took it.
You took it?
Yes, sir, I did. But at the end of the day, my daughter embraced me. We've got a great relationship now. And I'm filing this lawsuit on behalf of the environment through my attorney, Dolores Blassingame. The lawsuit is a noble cause to fight climate injustice. And we are suing the U.S. government.
Well, there's a lot of what you're saying here, sir, that's just there's a whole lot going on here. You want to sue to get rid of plastic grocery bags and two-ply toilet paper. You want to use reusable toilet rags. People are going to use these to wipe with and then rinse them out in the sink.
Yeah, and, you know, we should quit being so childish about it. I mean, you wipe, you rinse it out in the sink, you reuse this.
Between people?
No reason why you can't use it between people. No reason at all. How is it going to be bad?
And all of this by way of the fact that your daughter informed...
She told her teacher and the class, the sixth grade class there at Corona KC, told me to what to do, and I'm doing it. And I'm just telling you...
You made a comment, Steve.
I'm telling you, we're all going to have to go through it.
That's what I mean. You made a comment that we're all going to have to go through this, and meaning what?
I mean, because the kids that are coming up today are watching us as parents, and they're going to see if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and if we're not, it's not going to be a matter of people taking their kid out of school and saying, how dare Obama or Al Gore tell me what to do. The kids are not going to let us do it, and we're going to find the tables have turned. And they're going to, they're going to educate us. And if they can't educate us, then we have to be a part of what's going on. And I'm so very grateful to my daughter.
Well, I know that you're emotional about this.
Yes, sir.
And this is a gentleman whose daughter told him that he needed to get educated on global climate change. He's filing a lawsuit to use plastic bags and... to get rid of the use of plastic bags and two-ply toilet paper. All of this coming by way of the fact that his daughter told her teacher, and the teacher in the class got Mr. Bozell down there and apparently lectured him, told him he was a disgrace as a parent. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. So the point here is that the kids today are climate change advocates, and either we follow their lead, or we lose a relationship with them. I don't know. We'll have to get a little bit more into this. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Do we really need to start taking the advice of our kids in school? Are they really the only ones learning about climate change? We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Seven eight seven six. Phil, on the line with me is Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, as we talk about Global climate change. You know that there is a conference going on in Copenhagen. Quite a bit of controversy involved there, having to do with whether the developed nations are going to pay their fair share of reclaiming the planet's climate. And all of this in the midst of a debate here in the United States. Stephen Bozell is a man who is filing a federal lawsuit on Friday asking the United States court to mandate such things as the ban of plastic grocery bags and two-ply toilet paper, using reusable bags with a sustainable cloth, washable toilet rags as opposed to toilet paper. And this idea, though, I want to get back to Mr. Bozell, that your daughter had you called down to her school. Sounds to me as if you have some sort of a fear there.
I'm not afraid of my own daughter. I recognize that my daughter's class and their teacher, Ms. Nestor, who's a part of Climate Justice Now, they have told me that I'm a disgrace, and I do appreciate that. You have to understand that our children are now 11, 12. They're, within the decade, they're going to be adults. They will be able to call the shots, and if we are telling them now that we're not on the climate change, on the same page with them, I am, I recognize that I want my daughter to know I'm doing what I can do. I write out ways that I can explain how I do my part to save the environment for her. In the morning before school, my daughter checks the list and takes it to Mrs. Nestor.
I don't understand. What does this Mrs. Nestor have to do with what you're doing?
I want the teacher to know what I'm doing. I want the other kids in the class, many of whom had questioned me quite thoroughly. There was one boy named Brad, a very intelligent boy, who was very pointed in his comments and denounced me on several. He was the one that said I was a disgrace. But nonetheless...
So these young people are insulting you, but I don't understand why you feel the need that you have to even answer to them. I know that they're the future.
They're not only the future, Mr. Eddie. Within a decade, they're going to be running this country. And you and I won't have anything to say about it. And if we show ourselves to be on the opposite side of this issue from them, that they're going to be able to do whatever they want with us or to us. I've had to provide my daughter in the school a list of daily affirmations that I'm going to recycle, that I'm going to reuse and reduce whenever possible. I recite these to them. I'm doing everything that I can, but I didn't know.
Take your time, sir. I know it's emotional because it's your daughter.
Yes, sir.
But you sound to me like you're afraid.
No. Right now, my daughter is watching me from the living room and listening to the program. And she wants to make sure that I'm properly representing climate change, and I am. And I'm not afraid of her. I'm sad that I've let her down, and I let down the other kids in her class and members of the Students Climate Change Council. But
is your daughter's watching you right now?
But she's, I love my daughter very much.
Is she watching you right now?
What she's doing is she is monitoring the broadcast to tell Mrs. Nestor, who also is going to be listening tonight, yeah.
All right, 1-877-876-PHIL, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to go to a phone call. Here is Ann. Ann, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Fine, ma'am. Fine.
My first thing about some things you said, like getting rid of the plastic bags, that is a wonderful idea. I think they're horrible. We should be all using cloth bags, which will
exactly
help the environment majorly.
Yep.
But a comment of reusing, washable cloths all the time, there is a downside to that. That will be making us using more water than we should be.
You can also rinse. Because you can rinse that cloth out in the toilet. Now I know it sounds a little disgusting, but if you think about it, you just rinse the cloth out lightly in the toilet itself. That way you can. You're not using any more water. You're using less water because you're not flushing the toilet. So the water. If you think about the toilet flush, that's about a gallon. Most toilets are standard gallon. My daughter is. My daughter just told me to tell you that she'd appreciate it if you agree with me in principle to just agree with me and not, I guess, take issue with nitpicky stuff.
Well,
I don't understand. What do you mean?
Well, but my daughter just passed me a note asking that this lady not disagree, since she agrees with me in principle.
Well, that's fine what your daughter wants, but this lady's got a point of view that she wants to express.
It doesn't matter to my daughter. And my daughter wishes that the lady would just stick to the point here.
We'll be back. Phil Henry Show. No, what you're saying is here.
No, my daughter doesn't want to do that.
I don't understand that. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell is with a group called Climate Justice Now and has become Steve, I don't think I'm far gone in saying that you're a born-again climate change advocate. You believe that something's got to be done. You have you and your attorney, Dolores Blazengame, who we did receive the facts from, will be filing a lawsuit in federal court asking the government to ban the use of plastic bags, two-ply toilet paper, promote the use of reusable bags made from sustainable cloth and washable toilet rags that can be washed out in the sink after each use. I don't understand that.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, I got to tell you, it's sad where America is. If you look at the, you know, Arabia, where they had nothing but sand and everything, and they're getting their water out of a well, you know, that they'd have to know where, you know, they'd have like a tribe fight over, two tribes fighting over a well. Now, In Arabia, they have desalinization plants, and in America, I'm forced to go on a radio show across the whole country and talk about wiping with a rag. If you don't think that America is way behind on the climate change, and again, my daughter is, my daughter wants to tell you and your listeners that former Vice President Gore is going to be at a fundraiser in San Francisco later in the month, and she said that he has not yet agreed to a debate with Sarah Palin.
You know what, Steve? I want to ask you something, sir.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to know what your daughter has to say. I want to know what you have to say.
I know. I understand that. I understand.
Steve?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me. Don't talk to anybody off the air. Talk to me. I don't care what your daughter has to say. She's an 11-year-old girl. You and I are adults. We'll talk.
Yes, sir, but out of respect to the young kids that are coming up in 10 years when they are adults, I don't want them to... I don't know what they have, what they will do.
What they'll do what? Are you talking about what they're going to do to people that don't agree with climate change? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm just saying that I was forced to go in front of her class. I was humiliated, and I'm glad that I was humiliated. I'm doing the very best I can, but in talking to you, sir, and you are trying to push me into saying things that I don't want to say, she's listening, and I don't want to offend her. I don't want to offend my daughter. No.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. My suggestion to you, sir, otherwise we're not going to really have much of a conversation, is to not listen to what your daughter has to say. I'm not interested in what she has to say. I'm interested in what you have to say, and I'm interested in talking to you as an adult man about the idea of global climate change. Marilyn in Utah, you're on the Phil Henry Show here by with Steve Bozell. Go ahead, ma'am.
I am really appalled at the whole situation. Number one, we have a teacher that is indoctrinating a sixth grade class to think that they have a right to tell a father that he's a disgrace because he's using toilet paper. That teacher, number one, needs to be fired. The children's parents all need to come together and teach their children respect to them. And also, we're already finding out that climate change is a hoax. You know, they're going off from bogus information.
Yeah,
this woman, this teacher is a disgrace to the teachers, and I'm a teacher, and I'm appalled.
Mm-hmm. Are you a middle school teacher, Marilyn? What grade levels do you teach, Marilyn?
Well, I actually am a preschool teacher, but I have a, mm-hmm. a child care center that we do tutoring and stuff. So I take clear up to sixth grade kids. And these children, to be afraid that our children are going to run our country and don't know what they're going to do to us, they're already doing it to this gentleman. Do you know what I'm saying? And that
Steve?
Is out of line. Yes, Steve.
Steve, what do you have to say?
My daughter is telling me that you are out of line, that you are exactly who we're talking about when we talk about the planet moving forward. You are talking to preschoolers, and you probably are not going to have your job very long.
I own it.
Well, what does that mean?
Very long time.
What does that mean?
It means that this woman is disseminating information that is that the hoax is that climate change is a hoax. How come they found a polar bear floating 120 miles out in the ocean? What about that?
And we addressed that on our show last week. I said that there's such a thing as a current that carries the bodies. It carries all kinds of materials, including the carcass of a dead bear. It could carry it hundreds of miles.
And that's all part of this Earth. This Earth rejuvenates itself. This Earth is a living planet, and it rejuvenates itself. This has been record cold.
If it rejuvenates itself, why do we have so many extinct species? Obviously, it doesn't. Those are species that will never be here, never again.
You know, I'm not even going to discuss that aspect because you and I are not going to see eye to eye on that. The thing that I'm disturbed about is the fact that
they're trying to purify me.
The communists are getting into our schools and indoctrinating our children. We see it.
My daughter is trying to purify my thought, and you are in charge of these little tiny children. You're not trying to indoctrinate them? I think you are.
I'm not. I do not indoctrinate them on anything.
You tell the little children that there's no, that Al Gore, or I'm sure you don't talk to them about Al Gore.
I don't even talk about any of that because, number one, they're not old enough to understand. Number two,
do you tell them about the weather and everything?
They need to be kids. Yeah, we talk about, it's raining outside. When our children come home from school, we help them with math and science.
Do you tell them why it rains?
It rains? Why it rains?
Yes. Yes, do you tell them why it rains?
It rains all the time, Steve.
The reason why it rains now is because the United States and other developed countries are basically enjoying showering acid rain on poor countries.
You know, that is
according
so
to you,
crazy.
According to you or your daughter?
That's according to me, Mr. Andrew. I'm appreciative that my daughter straighten me out.
What and do you appreciate the fact that the little kids were calling you a disgrace?
That was Bradley. He was he's an 11-year-old boy who was he was the class homeroom president who took the lead, and he did tell me I was a disgrace, but he's right.
No, he isn't.
He's right.
Are you Are you working every day and feeding your children? Are you
I'm a disgrace to the next generation of the custodians of the planet that we're on. I disgrace myself, and I disgrace myself to the teacher.
I think right now, the fact that you have fear towards your 11-year-old daughter makes you more of a disgrace.
You don't fear what they're going to do to you in 10. What do you think they'll do to us in 10 years if we don't get straightened out on climate change?
You know what? What my children are going to do to me in 10 years, I've taught them
right.
to respect me. I've taught them to respect their fellow man. I've taught them to work hard. And number one, the other thing,
if they find out you lied to them about acid rain,
I have not
and they
lied
put you, and they
I
segregate you
them.
Along with others.
I have given my children the opportunity to make decisions for themselves. I have taught
my
children that there's two sides to every story, and for themselves, they need to go out, listen, weigh it, and make a decision.
I want to ask you, what do you think is going to happen, Steve?
I think that this lady is living in a fantasy world, and she doesn't think that in 10 years she's not on the same page with this new generation on climate change, that they're not going to do something that we are all going to be very sorry for.
Well, what are you talking about? I'd like you to know. Tell me specifically.
They will be in charge of the country at that time, and we will not be in any position to tell him what to do anymore. And I can see my daughter's looking at me right now.
Your daughter is like a Damien, you know, the little, who was it?
Well, you know, you can laugh all you want and do whatever you want.
I'm not laughing at anything. I'm concerned.
You know, how old are your kids?
To do this much damage to your family.
How old are your children, ma'am?
My children, I'm 54, so my children are anywhere in their 30s, clear down to my baby.
You don't know how old your own kids are? Wow. Well, I will tell you this.
You said my baby just turned 24. My oldest men are 30.
And they're not looking. And they're not watching you.
How old? And I know. And I have 24 grandchildren. My grandchildren.
Do any of them live with you? Do you know whether or not they're watching you or looking at you?
You know, they.
Let me ask you this.
Every single day of my life, I was a single mom and raised 7 children by myself.
I'll bet they are looking at you.
They work hard and they're honorable people and they make decisions for themselves.
I'm going to ask you a question. When you were alone in that house and you were changing your clothes in the bedroom, how do you know that one of their friends wasn't staring at you through the crack in the door?
What does that mean?
Oh, that is just chicken wrong.
What does that mean?
I'm trying to tell her they're looking at her through the crack in the door.
Well, they better.
What, her own kids?
Pervert.
All right. Thank you very much, Marilyn. 877-876-PHIL. What does that mean exactly?
I'm saying that if you are a parent today in America and you don't think your kids are watching you and how you're responding to the global debate on climate change, and if you are not on board and you are not doing the things. Well, not for my daughter gave me a list here that I wanted to. Look at
I don't really like the fact that you have a list from your daughter. Okay, this is bothering me.
My daughter mandates that I not flush after each use. We haven't flushed for 2 days. I'm just reading what she asked me to do. I do not speak down about my daughter's teacher. I would just warn your callers in the name of God, in the name of everything holy, Mr. Henry, and I mean this, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Please have your callers not talk down about my daughter's teacher. And
why are you afraid?
I'm not afraid. I am concerned about the future of the planet.
No, it sounds like you're afraid.
No, sir, I am not afraid. I am just asking you to ask your listeners, in the name of Jesus, he who died for our sins, to please have these people not say anything disparaging about the teacher.
Or what?
Please.
Or what? Mr. Bozell, or what?
It's not fear that I have for my daughter. It's respect.
All right. I'm going to take another call, and we'll get to a break here. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Tina, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell on climate change and the next generation. Go ahead, Tina.
Hi, Phil. Good morning to everybody. Good morning to Stephen. And
good morning, yes, ma'am.
Like, enlighten Stephen that, you know, maybe he needs to give his daughter to the system because she is disrespecting her father, and I don't think that he's capable of fathering her because he's allowing her to dictate what he is to say.
What my daughter tells me makes perfect sense for the planet that we live in.
Stephen?
And
excuse me?
My name is Steve. The last person who called me Stephen was my mother, and she's been dead 20 years.
Okay, Steve.
And I like the name Steve.
Please.
So you can call me Steve, please.
Listen, please.
Call me Steve.
We're calling in.
Is the lady gonna call me Steve, Phil, or?
Right back on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I just want to say I think it's great that she's wiping her butt. Period.
Yeah, I heard it the first time. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
The
American people are not ready to go green. The American people don't even know what the hell that means. The American people are looking to save gasoline. Yeah, they want better mileage. And if that means green, fine. Even if it doesn't mean green, fine. If we find out tomorrow that global warming is not the threat that we think it is, no one's going to lose any sleep other than the people that have been running around pitching that. Everybody sees me. Phil, Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, on climate change and talking with his daughter's class. He was called to the school to talk to the students about the fact that you'd been wasting toilet paper, sir, and using plastic bags. You have filed a lawsuit. I guess you'll be filing it on Friday in federal court, asking the U.S. government to ban the use of plastic bags. Reuse rags as toilet paper, which you've heard the response of people.
Well, the one thing that people don't get when they say, you know, you're going to use more water rinsing it out, you use water when you flush the toilet. So what I would suggest is you dip the rag in the toilet and flush, and then it acts as almost like it cleans the rag. And if people think it's disgusting, I'll tell you what's disgusting. It's disgusting to have dead animals floating in the ocean because of climate heat, you know, because the heating, the global heating and everything, and that'll stink. My daughter has asked me again, and I'm asking you, Mr. Henry, I'm begging you, please don't let anyone criticize the teacher.
Mr. Bozell, you've already told me that.
Don't do it, man. Please don't do it.
You've already told me that, and I'll take that under advisement, but I'm not here to do the bidding of an 11-year-old girl, regardless of how you feel about it. 877-876-PHIL. Julie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. His daughter should be in bed by now. It's Friday morning. She's got school. Two, he needs to take his daughter out of that school.
She's listening to the program. She's monitoring me on the show right now, ma'am.
Well, you just said she, a little while ago, she just handed you a note.
Yes, ma'am.
Then she's awake.
Yes, she's monitoring the show. She's listening to make sure that what I'm saying is accurate about the climate, you know, of the global planet.
Anyways, you need to get that girl out of the school, get her in a proper school, and I would report that teacher because, one, you sounded so terrified earlier, and there is something seriously wrong with that teacher.
Ma'am, but first of all, it's happening in all of our schools. You think it's just happening in my daughter's school?
Not.
If my son's schools make me
listen to them and not have them listen to me, I would put their asses in military school.
You don't know as much about the climate as your kids do. They know what's going on, and they watch you, and they watch how you waste and how you destroy things. And I'm telling you, these kids go back to their teachers and report this.
What does this mean, that they go back to the teachers and report it?
The teachers want to know from the children whether the parents are doing their part to keep the planet from basically just, you know, going to hell. Because of climate, everything. And what this lady doesn't understand, and what other listeners of yours don't understand, is the children are told at school to watch and make mental notes, come back to the school with what you see. I thank God that my daughter saw what I did that was wrong.
Neither of my son's schools do that at all, because both of my kids talk to me about everything. They would talk to me before they would talk to anybody else.
How do you know, though, that they're not watching you and looking at what you do?
Because they're more busy playing video games and being kids.
Yes, of course they are playing video games, but there's other times, especially when you're cooking or when you're preparing their meals or in the morning when you're using the bathroom, that they look and they make mental notes. And I said to the other lady, and she,
I know my
yes,
children,
they do.
And they do not. Your family does, because she was brainwashed by some psychopath.
what's happening in schools. I'm asking you and I'm begging you, do not talk that way about Ms. Mister.
Well, look, at Steve.
I am brainwashing all those kids.
No, ma'am. What's brainwashing kids about making the planet better so that we're not killing animals left and right and having everything go to hell?
There is a way to make help teach children how to make things better, not by you're like suggesting like something catastrophe is going to happen in 10 years that our children are going to like lock us up because we're not doing things perfectly right by the earth.
My daughter just passed me note. My daughter passed me note. My daughter says that you don't sound very educated.
Tell your daughter.
Wait a minute.
My daughter.
Bedtime.
I don't want to use the word. My daughter says you do not sound very educated.
All right. Your daughter said that. What's that got to do? Okay.
She just told me that you.
You should be telling your daughter what she should be doing, not her telling you what you should be doing.
My daughter says you sound like some kind of hanky woman.
Okay, Steve. That's enough with the disrespectful notes from your daughter. Okay.
That's what she said.
All right, I appreciate your call very much.
My daughter says you sound like Hanky White.
What?
White trash.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That lady is shocked. She's shocked. 877-876-PHIL as we talk with Steve Bozell about his daughter, her school, and his changed attitude on global climate change. Are our kids watching us and making mental notes about what we're doing for the climate? 877-876-PHIL.
My daughter also says.
Phil Hendry.
Douchebag.
Learn more at talkradionetwork.com. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You know, Heather, I was looking at the whole Tiger thing, and I was thinking, you know, marketers are probably desperately looking
for the next... If we don't pass it, here's the guarantee.
I mean, who is the great scholar of the Depression?
Northwest began serving peanuts this month.
An ice cream vendor... Excuse me, ice cream...
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where truth is our bitch, reality is the bitch, and we tell you about the news and you. This hour we have Mr. Stephen Bozell. We have held him over to talk more about a lawsuit that he has filed in or will be filing in federal court asking the U.S. government to ban the use of plastic bags, to ban the use of two-ply toilet paper. This all part of the global climate change agenda, I must say, and is promoting the use of reusable bags made from sustainable cloth and washable toilet rags that can be washed in the sink after each use. And we have linked that article. You can read the article, Man Sues on Behalf of Climate. You can go to twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show, twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show to read the entire article that features Mr. Bozell. We have him on the line here from Corona, California. And we do thank you, sir, for staying with us for a few more minutes.
My daughter had asked me to stay on the line to clarify some things. There have been some slanderous things said about her teacher.
A lot of the things that have been said, Mr. Bozell, have been in defense of you, to stand up more to your daughter, that her teacher had no right to call you down there and lecture you, that the children themselves had no right to call you a disgrace as a parent. All of these things have been said in defense of you.
But they're wrong. I don't need that kind of defense. I know I've been wrong. I know that my approach toward the climate and the global climate and everything about it has been wrong. The biggest point here I think that's been missed and that I've tried repeatedly to make is that children, 11, 12, the middle schoolers on up, and even a little tiny, the ones that one lady teaches, the littler ones, they're all familiar with how the planet has been destroyed by, and I told the class this, I have helped destroy the planet, and they know the planet's been destroyed by us, the generation ahead of them. The planet is going straight down into hell, you know, and I told the kids that. Miss Nister asked me, and I very gladly said, that I accept the charge of having been criminally irresponsible with the use of the planet, and I pled guilty to that.
Are you telling me that you told all of this to a middle school class?
Mr. Henry.
Is that what you're telling me?
Mr. Henry, you don't understand the level of intelligence these kids have got. The lady. I'm talking on the radio. The lady said.
Is that your daughter again?
Please don't disrespect my daughter, sir, because when I get off the phone, I have to deal with her. And I will say this to you. My daughter is an exceptional girl. She goes to bed when she feels like it. I don't tell her when to go to bed. She's infinitely more intelligent than me. She sees the world far more clearly than I do. Her mother both she and her mother have been instrumental in making me and my son see how destructive and how criminal our actions have been. So I don't tell my daughter what to do. I don't tell her when to go to bed. That's like telling, she should tell me when to go to bed. And
well, what is she, some kind of a super kid? I mean, are you still her father?
Of course I'm her father, but when going to bed, my daughter gets straight A's. She's going to be going to college probably when she's 14. I mean, that's how brilliant my daughter is. And she is part of a new generation of young people who are going to be keeping a very close eye on you and me. And when it comes time to pay the piper, I pray to God that I've done the best I can.
You know, Mr. Bozell, you have been very vague in telling me what you think is going to happen once these kids come of age and find out that we are the generation that, quote, destroyed the planet. If anything, we're the generation that started Earth Day. It was my generation, your generation. Well, maybe you're younger than me. We started Earth Day. I was in high school when Earth Day started.
That's not paying the bills anymore. You know, that's not sending anybody.
What do you mean it doesn't pay the bill? Our generation started Earth Day. I was a senior in high school.
That isn't impressing the kids anymore. They think Earth Day is for a bunch of potheads. Earth Day is a day where, your people, the older people, you're smoking marijuana and sitting around and doing nothing. And this is a stupid question. Do you remember on Earth Day, did you wipe with a toilet paper or...
You know what? We weren't thinking about that at that time, man. We were thinking about the very basic, the elemental steps towards the elemental idea that the planet was running out of resource, that it was getting polluted, that needed cleaning up. Nobody was thinking about that, okay?
Well, then you don't know what you wiped with then.
And no, I didn't. Toilet paper that my parents bought. I was in high school. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Sarah, you're on the air with Steve Bozell. Go ahead, ma'am. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, very interesting caller and a very interesting topic. I do feel that with the young daughter, I would never disrespect your daughter or her teacher. I myself have three children, and I'm really involved with their learning in school. And on both sides, on the teacher side, wanting to educate the kids on what's going on, that's her job. As a parent, you're supposed to listen to your child and then know what your children is often witnessing in the household.
Exactly.
You're doing what you're supposed to do. But now take hold of that. Take hold as a father and say, okay, daughter, you've taught me some stuff. You taught me that. The bottles that we buy for the Coke bottles that we have around the house.
She's shaking her head no right now. My daughter's shaking her head no right now. My daughter's shaking her head no.
No. But listen, like the plastic bag.
But that's what she's doing. My daughter's listening to you and shaking her head no.
Okay.
Wait. Let the lady finish, okay? What are you saying?
My daughter is hearing what the lady's saying, but she's shaking her head no, saying no way.
What I learned in school also is to be able to communicate to people. And to be able to listen and to communicate.
She passed me another note.
And then also.
She passed me another note. She said, don't put words in my mouth. Tell this woman not to put words in my mouth.
I'm not.
Steve, you know what? I don't want to hear about your daughter's notes to you. I want to hear what this lady has to say.
But my daughter's shaking her head saying this lady's off base.
This woman is being very supportive of what your daughter's saying.
Very supportive of what your daughter is. I have a 12-year-old.
The note here, she says, I don't need her to put words in my mouth.
I have a daughter who has a bully problem at school, okay? So I listen to my 12-year-old, okay? And I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I was raised in a holiness church. So not only do I want to save the world.
My daughter is shaking her head no.
and my children. What? I want to have children, and I want my children to be aware.
Way off point.
I am aware, but am I doing something about it? It's like you call yourself a Christian, but are you really a Christian? It's like we, as ourselves, have to take the opportunity and the grasp onto the opportunity and making things happen. Now, and now that you know that you're ruining this planet and you are a disgrace to this planet, and I'm so glad that you are actually taking that title. For all of the adults here, if you're representing just yourself, then that's fine. But I would just like to say for the listeners out here that to go on the internet now and then further your research, you know, get a petition together, go against, you know, the White House. Not only the White House, if the United States can get together and stop using so much toilet paper, and only, well, in my house, let me tell you, my white kids, when they pee-pee, they only use one square. When they doo-doo, when they even the poo-poo, they only use two squares.
Yeah.
So I'm taking
towards
that. So I'm on
My daughter asked me the question, how many squares do you use? And then she put in parentheses, probably six. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, no, my daughter says that because you're...
And I'm the same size I was when I was in high school.
Because you're bigger, you'd have to use more squares.
All right, wait. Well, hold on for a minute, Steve. What?
Well, my daughter wrote me a note saying that this lady's neo-pagan beliefs have nothing to do with the issue of climate change and how many squares she uses to wipe her butt.
Well,
that's
earlier,
what my daughter
said.
You said something.
Jesus, please, Lord, don't talk about my daughter's teacher. Oh, please,
exactly.
Lord. You said something.
I believe in Jesus, but my daughter doesn't.
Okay.
What do you mean your daughter doesn't?
My daughter, I don't tell my daughter what to believe in.
Did you raise your daughter in a Christian home?
I don't tell my daughter. My daughter says that we're way off point.
I'm not interested in what your daughter said. Did you raise your daughter in a Christian home?
My daughter does not believe in Jesus Christ. She says he's a mythical man and he's a joke.
So does she believe in the Big Bang? Because, you know, I'm pretty educated, and I know that scientific belief is that there was a Big Bang. And then you have spiritual religion.
My daughter says, does she ever believe in the Big Bang?
Creator, there was a man and a woman called Adam and Eve. Or do you believe in Adam and Steve in your household? What does your daughter believe? How did she get here?
My daughter does not believe in Adam and Eve. She says it is all mythic.
Does she believe in Santa Claus?
Neo-pagan belief.
For her on
she does not believe in Santa Claus, no. She is going to be working very hard on healing the planet. And hopefully she said she would like to travel to your house and strangle you and leave you dead in your bed.
And a DVD player? Did you take her to see Hannah Montana's movie? She also believes
that if Jesus were to return to Earth, that he would strangle you.
All right, hold on. I can't hear either one of you guys. What?
My daughter said that if Jesus returned to Earth, the first person he'd strangle would be this lady.
Oh, come on, Steve.
I'm just reading.
Well, you know what?
She believes that Jesus would want to strangle you.
Yeah. Tell the future of me winning the lotto. If she can see the future,
she can see the future, and she says that Jesus will strangle you with your own pantyhose.
Oh, come on, Steve.
My daughter is apparently
going on. Go to the local Blockbuster and rent.
877-876 Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
My daughter also says that she thinks that this woman is a part of it. And that Jesus will kill her.
The American people are not ready to go green. The American people don't even know what the hell that means. The American people are looking to save gasoline. Yeah, they want better mileage. And if that means green, fine. Even if it doesn't mean green, fine. If we find out tomorrow that global warming is not the threat that we think it is, no one's going to lose any sleep other than the people that have been running around pitching that. Phil, as we continue talking about the climate change, so-called climate change issue, agenda, whatever you want. Now, Steve, you said that there is a piece of audio that you'd like us to play.
Yes, sir. This is exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about the young people today who are aware of the climate going south. You know, everything bad happening. Here is what happened today in Copenhagen. in Denmark, or I don't know, in Denmark, of what, and this is exactly what our kids, this is our kids. Tired of being lied to about how, you know, clean and everything is. When I was told to report to my daughter's school, and I was told to, you know, I better do, get, I don't know how to put it.
Did you change your ways according, you know, because of the climate, because of fear, or because you really believed in it?
I really believe in it, and also I know that my daughter wants the best for me, but she also is not under any illusions. You know, she'll do what, you know, like she says, she'll do what she's got to do.
What does that mean, she'll do what she's got to do?
That's all she said, she'll do what she's got to do.
Well, that sounds like a threat to me, sir, and I don't think any parent should take to a threat.
It's not a threat, it is a, my daughter likes to say, it's not a threat, it's a promise.
I would not, if I were a parent, take very kindly to that at all. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Denise in St. Petersburg, hey. Florida. Denise, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Steve Bozell. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks so much. I just wanted to say a comment to Steve. Is he still on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. You know, what you're doing for your daughter is great green-wise, but you're making her be the giant and the caretaker in your family. You know, I don't know what your education level is, but...
No, I don't know. My daughter's very educated and very smart. Probably
yeah,
smarter
so you're, than you, she's the leader, you're the follower. Well,
I mean, she'd be the leader if you were her parent, she'd be the leader.
Kids need a leader. They need a leader.
Well,
they need somebody
I mean,
to follow. They
Not my daughter. She already knows.
No, everybody.
She would be. In fact, if she were your daughter, she'd probably be driving you to the rehab or wherever you go.
No. All right, that's not necessary.
Well, the lady's obviously drunk, so I'm not gonna.
That's not necessary.
No, that
my
is.
My daughter says that she thinks you've been drinking. Is
why,
it,
why do you daughter, say that about me?
My daughter wants to know if you've been drinking.
Iced tea. And water. I've had the
alcohol
flu for 2 days.
My daughter wants to know. My daughter wants to know if you've had a stroke.
All right. Well, I don't want any more messages from your daughter. Here is Virginia in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, Virginia.
I told you she was drunk.
I'll handle the call, Steve. Don't worry about it. Virginia, hi.
Hi. The
lady was obviously drunk. My daughter felt that she'd been drinking.
I understand. Yes,
well,
go ahead.
Sir, you seem to believe that everything that your daughter says is right. Now, I have been a teacher. I'm retired now, and I've taught everything from three-year-olds up to, say, fourth grade.
Uh-huh.
Now, if this was such an important thing with the teacher, the children, and all, why were the parents maybe not invited to a forum or something with the children? And all of this discussed, possibly a sheet given to the parents. They go home, discuss this with the children. They go to the library, the computer, or whatever, and learn
my daughter
about this together.
Just asked me to know, wants to know from the lady what this has to do with what we're talking about.
What?
My daughter wants to know what this has to do with what we're talking about.
Steve, this is my last warning. I don't want any more notes from your daughter being read on the air.
My daughter says that she thinks this lady's trying to control the conversation.
I'm not interested in what your daughter has to say.
I was.
My daughter says she's very suspicious of this woman.
Shoes. I've been in the teacher's shoes.
Right. And my daughter says she's suspicious of this woman because she feels there's more going on with this lady than she's saying.
Okay, I'm done with your daughter. No more comments from your daughter.
Right. Your daughter, you need to be the father. You need to be the one who guides.
My daughter says that's what that last alcoholic said.
Works with this child. And if this school.
I'm trying to work with her. I'm doing everything she wants. I'm doing everything her mother and her she asked me to do, and it ain't good enough.
Well, she may be asking you to do, but you have a responsibility, too, to be the parent and to guide her and work with her. And I go back to the teacher. If this was this big
My daughter wants to know if she's ever been arrested.
If this was a big project with these children and this teacher.
Right.
And the parent, why are the parents not a part of it, too?
My daughter says she'd like to have a look at your jacket.
In the group.
Her jacket.
And then together, if it's such a big topic, why are you not trying to learn about it to converse with your daughter?
I am. I've done everything I can. I'm wiping with a rag. I'm doing things that no man should ever have to do. My wife and my daughter have got me and my son wiping with a rag and rinsing it out. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand, finally? You're telling me why don't I do this and why don't I do that?
Well,
the two women in this house and Al Gore, in cahoots with Al Gore, have got me wiping with a rag.
I'm the one that's being told.
And that lady calls up and she says she wipes with four squares. I'm going to tell you, 145 pound woman.
Many
and I bet she's got an ass the size of a couple of doorways wide and she's wiping with three squares. I don't think so. And I think that what Al Gore has done to me to reduce me to the level of having to go out to the garage for something to wipe. I got to tell you, mister, boy, that hurts. Hurts bad.
Well,
bad for you, Virginia. I've always felt it.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, as well as listen to the show, you can watch us perform the show every night by going to philhendryshow.com and watching our live streaming video of the show as well as our live streaming audio of the show. That's philhendryshow.com. And you can go to twitter.com/Phil Hendry and you can check in on Twitter. In fact, we have linked the article that you appear in, Mr. Bozell, A Man Sues on Behalf of Climate. Before we get back to our calls, we've got a lot of people who want to talk. And
my daughter, Mr. Henry, I wanted to say this. I know you think that I take my orders from my daughter. I'm simply saying that my daughter has asked me, if you want to put it that way, to stay on the air to clarify. But she does feel that the quality of the people that have been calling, given the hour of the night, and the fact that back east it's 3 hours later, that some of these people have been using alcohol or.
Let me be the judge of that, and let my screeners be the judge of that, and not you.
Well, I'm not my daughter.
And your daughter, I'll say this, and I know I said it, I was going to say it the last time. I don't want to hear about your daughter.
She's my daughter, and
I know she's your daughter, but you're reading notes that she's passing to you, saying things about people drinking.
My daughter is very evolved, as are all of the kids in her class. They are evolved far beyond. You got to understand. They understand what's happening to this planet. They see the crimes that have been committed against this planet by you and I. They see.
I don't. I'm sorry. I do not. I'm not accepting that indictment. Crimes that I've committed against this planet.
Well, your carbon footprint, Mr. Henry. You said that you're trying to lose weight. So, what do you figure your carbon footprint is? I don't even want to talk about it. How big it is.
Forget about my carbon footprint. How about your daughter's carbon footprint with all the hot air she's spewing?
Please don't talk. I'm sorry, honey. She heard that, and she is...
Hey, what's your daughter's name?
My daughter's name is April.
April, honey, go to bed. Blow it out your rear end, sweetheart, okay? And act your age.
She is, okay, she's very angry.
I don't give a damn if she's angry or not. I don't care.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at her.
Forget about your daughter.
When I hang the phone up, I got to be in this house with her. And there's a long night ahead, Mr. Hendry, a very long night ahead.
The article is called Man Sues on Behalf of Climate Change. Tell me about the lawsuit.
I'm looking at it.
What about the lawsuit?
The lawsuit, we're suing the federal government to get rid of plastic bags and to wipe with a rag.
To what?
To wipe with a rag, I told you.
877-876-PHIL. Here is Nick in Austin. Nick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Steve Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Phil, thank you very much for taking my call. And
yes, sir.
I just want to get a little bit of background, if you don't mind. What state is Mr. Bozell in?
Mr. Bozell, you're in California, right?
I'm in Corona, California.
California, okay.
Yes, sir.
That's what I expected. First off, I want to just say that
what does that mean? Oh, I get it. We're weird out here or something?
Absolutely.
I come from Tennessee originally, if that's at all instructive.
Whatever. So what the classroom and what the teacher has done is extremely wrong and unethical. Asking a father to come in front of a classroom of 11-year-olds, who I must remind you are not that smart. I was an 11-year-old 10 years ago, and we weren't that smart. We were dumb. We were wild. Now, you need to understand that your daughter...
This is a new generation, sir. A whole new generation.
Psychological issues that your desire for approval from your daughter and your wife pushing you to these extreme limits, and it's very embarrassing, and I got to say, I feel sorry for you, sir, and I pity what you're going through.
I'll tell you, I want to help the planet, and I don't want my daughter... If I have to go in front of the class and they're telling me that I'm a disgrace to the human race.
A disgrace to the human race.
That's what this young Bradley told me.
Who's this kid Bradley? Was he the ringleader or something?
He was the school. He was the class monitor, and the teacher pointed him out, used him as the voice of the kids, and he, asked me questions and I guess interrogated me.
An 11-year-old kid, some Poindexter interrogating you about global climate change.
About what we want, the toilet paper.
Wild.
And I said to the teacher, I thank you very much for, I didn't know that I did any of this. You have to understand, to the man I'm talking to, he says he's 21 now. Okay, that's good, and that's great for you, and... But now this is a whole new generation of kids that are on this global climate message like stink on you know what, and they won't climb off that for love or money. And either we get on board and we start, showing that we're...
How about if we have an honest discussion about this? Because what's going on here, Steve, is your teacher's mind is made up, the kids in the class's minds are made up, your daughter's mind is made up, your wife's mind is made up. They have you, reading notes. They have you in fear. You just said to me, your daughter's going to be angry, and there's a long night ahead.
Yes, sir, there is. And I guess the two of you guys think that's funny.
I said I feel sorry for you, sir. I don't think it's funny at all. I think it's a disgrace, sir. I believe that it's very bad that a man has been put in this position. Because since the agrarian age has come into place, it has always been a man is the head of the household. A man steps
up. Well, we don't live in no agrarian age now. We got machines and everything. Okay?
Sir,
and
I'm giving you a little history lesson because you need it. Now, please, refrain from speaking
for
just a little bit.
Here's a guy telling me. Well, I love it.
Go ahead. Go tell us.
Yeah, please.
Go ahead. I got my daughter telling me what to do. I got this guy who's, barely...
You need to be in the center of the nuclear of the family, sir. You need to understand that someone needs to man up. There needs to be leadership. Children need leadership, and they need discipline. You need to discipline your daughter, sir, to tell her not
to. What do you do when you man up and discipline and you find out your kids are way smarter than you, and they're telling you to wipe with two squares, and they're right,
sir? You need to step up. You need to believe in yourself and understand that they aren't smarter than you. They have been in a public education system that is, or it might not be public education. It could be a private education system. I don't know. But they have been fed this garbage since they were little. Believe me, I grew up in it. I understand the kind of brainwashing they do in a public school system, sir. I understand. And somehow...
My daughter told me one time when I was taking her to church, she said to me, Daddy, religion clouds our minds and results in the destruction of the earth before global warming. And she said that Jesus, if Jesus was alive, Jesus would think that that one lady that had called a minute ago was a motor mouth whore. Now, that's not something that's going to come out of a child's mouth unless they have a very strong opinion and feeling on events that are transpiring on the earth. And
the words motor mouth whore shouldn't come out of... I'm sorry I interrupted you, Gary. I'm sorry I interrupted you, Nick, but the words motor mouth whore shouldn't come out of any child's mouth.
But my daughter is a new generation. This is a new...
She's a new...
You guys don't get it.
...new crop of children raised in this public education system. And like I said, I'm a man now. I was young. I'm still young. And I was just experiencing this. You must be in your 50s or something like that.
God. I'm 41 years old, and I didn't think I was that old, but there's a whole new movement afoot. There's something afoot in the land. And it all has to do with the polarized.
They have been brainwashed. They have been fed this garbage for year in, year out, for 180 days a year.
All right, thank you for your call, sir. Let's move on to another call. Pedro, here's Pedro on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Pedro.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Guys, right about that.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Steve, do you really know what global warming even is? Because you keep saying stuff, but you don't make any sense.
I don't know what you mean. That the planet Earth is warming up. As a result of the gas that's emitted, the gases.
Okay.
What gases?
The carbon footprint I was telling you about.
The carbon footprint.
Yeah. That's not a gas.
It is.
Anyways, look, I mean, have you ever taken consideration the reversal of, you know, the magnetic poles weakens, you know, the ozone layer, which allows more radiation from the sun?
I want to talk to my daughter about that, you know, because...
Well, that's something.
I'm not
that's
familiar
real.
With that.
That's something that's actually real. That's not something that's statistical or, you know, computer generated. The things that come out, like for example, that guy.
You might as well be talking Chinese to me. All I know is they're telling me to wipe with one square. I'll do it if they tell me to. I'll do whatever they want me to do, because I know that in 10 years when they get to be old enough to.
You're talking
about polar this and someone's pole. I don't know about polar what you're talking about. All I know is that the planet is, you know, they said the other day that they found a polar bear floating.
You say that you should know how it's happening, if it's even happening.
Right. If it's even happening, yeah.
Well, the other day they said they found some polar bear floating.
There's
what I know.
All over the place. If you go to an aquarium, there's going to be a dead animal floating on there. Probably.
I won't be surprised at seeing a dead fish floating, but a dead bear floating. That's one. You know what I mean, right?
Earlier you mentioned something about species becoming extinct. I don't know if
right.
you know this or not, or if your daughter knows this or not, or the teacher that's teaching her knows this or not. But it is a completely natural thing. For species to die off. It's natural life.
There's all kinds of species that die off, Steve. Yeah, all kinds of species have died off since the Earth was born. I mean, there's species that are long gone. I mean, one word for you, dinosaur.
Okay, but I mean, first of all, a dinosaur got wiped out, according to my daughter, and I talked to a couple of kids at the school. They said it was a meteor.
Well, they don't know that it was a meteor. They say that that's one theory. What do you mean, a couple of kids at the school?
The kids are the ones that know about it. I can't find one adult that has a grip on this thing.
What kind of
any firmer?
Is this
it's a public school, but these are exceptional children. No, it's not a church school. My daughter has been taught that religion is a myth, and that Jesus is just a made up guy.
Global
But
yeah, well, okay.
All right. We got to take a break. I got to take a break here. Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Stephen Bozell has been our guest on global warming and, I don't know, the children of the corn is what it sounds like. Children of the Damned or the Village of the Damned or...
The Village of the Damned. Children of the Damned was a lousy movie. The first one was good, though.
Phil Hendry.
Mr. Stephen Bozell joins us on the line here from Corona, California. Yes, sir. How are you?
Well, I've been better, Phil. I can tell you that. I wanted to ask you and get your opinion on the recent story that had come from Cuba, and I think it was today. And because of the situation that I've gotten myself into, and I think that this friend of mine had got me into.
Now, what is the story from Cuba?
The story... was that apparently today the announcement was made that Cuba has authorized sex change operations and will offer them free for qualifying citizens, an official said on Friday.
Let me look for that right now. Cuba approves free sex change operations, is that it?
Yes, sir.
Out of Havana? Yeah, you read it. And the move is the latest in a series of changes implemented by President Raul Castro since he succeeded his elder brother. What was the what is your concern with this?
Today, I was getting into my truck. I have a construction concern in Corona, California.
Can I ask you just one very quickly? I can hear, and Bud put here Steve at his pond in Corona. Are you at a pond?
Yeah, it's in the north area of my property. I've got 10 acres in Corona, and I've come here just to think when I've had any kind of a crisis or. I just need to clear my head.
Oh, okay, because I was hearing all that. I can hear other squirrels out there.
We've got a lot of wildlife. We border the Anajiga range, so we've got squirrel life. We do have squirrel life. We have, and you can hear a duck.
Okay. Sounds very pleasant.
It is. It helps clear my head when I can just be here with these creatures, you know. But the squirrel life is very thick here.
Okay, so go ahead. When you said the squirrel life is thick, dumb squirrels?
No. I mean, it's lush.
Okay, tell me about this story. Cuba approves free sex change operations.
So the article I was not aware of, and I was getting in my truck this morning. I had just left the house, and I was getting in my truck. My next door neighbor is a man by the name of Roy Hutchins, and I have named him, at least in the preliminary action that we have filed.
So there is some kind of civil litigation going on?
Yes, sir. I thought that I had mentioned that to the man that answers the telephone there, that I am planning on a civil lawsuit to try to redress my grievances.
All right, tell me what happened here, sir?
What happened, I'm getting into my truck this morning, and this gentleman, Mr. Hutchins, came over and said the following, and I took notes. It happened at about, was 8:27. Mandy, is that what it is, honey? My daughter, it was 8:27 this morning, honey? My daughter says it's 8:27 on the notes. And he said, hey, Steve, did you read this? Cuba has approved free sex change operations. And he arched the right eyebrow arched up, and then turned and... went back over to his truck. He works as an electrician. I work as a construction contractor, and I have used him as a sub from time to time.
This man's a friend of yours?
Yeah.
All right, what did he do?
Sorry, I got to explain it to you, but the man came over, looked at me, said, hey, Steve, did you hear Cuba approves free sex change operations, and then arched his eyebrow. So you got to understand something. It's very subtle, Mr. Henry.
Have you had some contention with this man?
Oh, yeah. He has done things like... tried to infer that the zucchini he's growing is bigger, and he tried to make, you know, sexual comments about that.
But I don't understand what he did, sir. So he came over...
He came over, he said, hey, did you hear? Cuba's approved free sex change operations. And the inference is obvious to anybody that he's
looking at me like I should go down to Cuba and go ahead and get one installed.
You took that to mean that he thinks you should go to Cuba and do what?
To get a female part installed.
To have a sex change operation.
Yes, sir. And of course, it took me by surprise, and I was in the truck at the time, and I just turned the engine was on, and I turned the engine off, and I remember leaning against the wheel, and my head hit the horn, and my wife came out and wondered what was going on, and I explained it to her. And the one person in your life, I guess, where you expect... Excuse me.
Do you need to take a little moment here?
I'll be all right. The one person in your life you expect will back you up 100%. And she looked at me and she laughed and blew it off and just blew it off.
Well, what do you think is the nefarious? You're saying that this man...
The man comes over and says, "Hey, Steve." Like, in other words, he's saying to me, "This is great news for you. Hey, Steve, why would I be interested in Cuba approving free sex change operations?"
Oh, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he was trying to make a joke there, but you sound pretty busted up over this.
I have to tell you, Mr. Henry, I wouldn't mind it if a guy came right up to my face and said, "You know what, you look like some kind of a pansy that ought to be a woman," and I could laugh that off, okay? I could laugh that off. But when a guy is trying to be, you know, cute and sort of trying to... you know, squeeze it through like that. And
you mean be subtle?
Yeah, when he's trying to be subtle, and you don't know which way he's leaning, and you're worried, okay, what are you saying? And the next thing you know, he turns and goes to his truck, and I'm left there like just a heap, leaning against the horn on my truck. I woke up my daughter. I couldn't go to work.
I got to tell you something, sir. I think you're taking it a little too seriously here.
That's what I thought. But it was the subtlety of saying, if he wants to call me a queer, just come out and say it. That I respect. But why does he have to say they've approved free sex change operations?
Well, that's not even being gay. That's a transgender thing.
I understand that, but that's what I mean. He's being very roundabout because he hasn't got the guts. And so I said to my attorney that the litigation should include the clause that include the clause. I'm very nervous.
Include a clause.
Include a clause that says that I am mentally and emotionally, I've basically been mentally and emotionally fondled because he didn't have the guts to just call me a queer.
I don't know if it's, sir, I got to tell you something. It's frivolous.
No, sir, it is not.
Yeah, it's a totally frivolous lawsuit. It's a ridiculous thing to say. You're going to sue this guy because he doesn't have the guts to call you a queer.
That's exactly correct. If the man came right out and said, "Hey, Steve, I think you're a queer," that's fine. But the mental fondlement...
And what is mental fondlement?
I mean, what I'm saying is he emotionally fondled me by not just coming out and calling me a queer.
So instead he said, "Hey, Steve, Cuba is approving free sex change operations."
That's what he did, and that's his roundabout way. So I'm accusing him in a civil litigation of being too gutless to call me queer to my face, and instead of talking about...
All right, I've got to take a break. I thank you very much, sir, for that input. It's very interesting. My best of luck to you.
Okay, if anybody wants to go to my website...
All right, we'll give that address later on. Thank you.
Phil Hendry.
No, you didn't.
Shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
I mean, he was the great scholar of the Depression, and basically he saw...
As of this moment, I am going to do my best to make this bill a better bill, a bill...
Well, how much does it hurt the Democratic effort to pull this thing together?
You know, Heather, I was looking at the whole Tiger thing, and I was thinking...
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
Burn in hell.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico, baby. We are every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the national nightly check-in through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland, the Reality is Our Bitch radio show, where we not only look at issues, but we look at you. All right. I just decided I got sick of that.
You like that?
No, I just cut it off. It sucked. And our number is 877-876-PHIL. In a moment, Larry Grover with us from Conservatives of Kern County. The Senate health care debate has stalled as Republicans invoke what has been described by ABC News as stall tactics by Republican legislators. Delays abound, and there are no guarantees the Senate leaders will have enough votes to pass the bill. In the United States Senate, there was the usual falderall and claptrap after Senator Bernie Sanders, an independent of Connecticut, introduced a 766-page amendment that would have introduced a single-payer system. Senator Tom Coburn forces the clerk, or at least tries to force the clerk, to read it in its entirety, hence the what they call delay tactics.
Mr. President, I call up my amendment per the order.
The clerk will report the amendment.
The senator from Vermont, Mr. Sanders, for himself and others, proposes an amendment number 2837 to amendment number 2786.
Thank you.
Beginning on page 1, strike line 6, and all that follows to the end, and insert the following.
I ask the amendment be considered as read.
President, I object.
Not objection.
I object.
Objection is heard.
B, table of contents.
I would ask that the amendment be considered as read.
Senator,
if I can offer the amendments.
Is there objection?
There is objection.
And may I ask
objection
my,
is heard.
And may I ask my friend from, may I ask my
Mr. President,
friend,
regular order.
From Vermont.
I ask my friend from Oklahoma why he is objecting.
Regular order, Mr. President.
Regular order is the reading of the amendment.
So there you have 3 hours in with only 150 pages read aloud at that point. Senator Sanders withdraws the amendment and slams the GOP to prevent it from being voted on. So they read 150 pages aloud, and finally Sanders said, forget it.
Everybody in this country understands that our nation faces a significant number of major crises, whether it's the disintegration of our health care system, the fact that 17% of our people are unemployed or underemployed, one out of four of our children are living in food stamps. We've got two wars. We've got global warming. We have a $12 trillion national debt, and the best the Republicans can do is try to bring the United States government to a halt by forcing a reading of a 700-page amendment. That is an outrage. People can have honest disagreements, but in this moment of crisis, it is wrong to bring the United States government to a halt.
Larry Grover now with us from Culver City, California. He is the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, and you are aligned with much of what the Tea Party people are trying to get done, which is to defeat this health care bill. And you heard the senator there, Senator Sanders from Connecticut. I thought it was very eloquent, in slamming the Republican delaying tactics. What do you think of that?
Eloquent at all, Phil. I think that he sounded like most of those Democrats do. He sounded out of control. He didn't sound as if he was really in control of the facts either. He's talking about people living in food stamps, whatever that means.
Well, he was obviously very emotional.
Well, and this is not a time to get emotional. This is a time to take a look at the issues. And if we have to use, and I say we, I mean the conservatives and Republicans and Tea Party people alike, whoever they may be, libertarians, if we've got to use these tactics to slow this situation down, and that's what we have to do, I find a lot of it uncomfortable. I find a lot of it to be unfortunate. But nonetheless, we have to use every tool at our disposal to get the truth out to people, that this is going to be a health care plan that likely is going to wind up killing more people than it actually helps.
Why do you say that? Killing more people.
I'll tell you exactly why. Because once they get done wrecking the Medicare system as it exists, and once they get done so-called expanding its services, or however they're going to do it, you're going to have a healthcare system that not only can't pay for itself, but even our seniors won't be getting the help that they need. I thought, so look, I'm not a guy who is divisive. I'm not a guy that wants to slow anything down, but we have to use every one of these tactics at our disposal to alert the American people.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
Alert the American people to the truth.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but let's talk about that big sign that I saw the other day on the news. It showed the dead inmates from the dead prisoners, the dead people at Dachau in World War II. Okay, and
I understand.
Okay, and it was a protest of the health care bill. Now, what possible service does that do?
Well, I will tell you, and again, I think it's unfortunate that we are forced into using these images. And
so you don't disavow the use of the image?
Well, it wasn't my image.
Well, what I mean is you do not disagree with the use of that image.
Let me tell you what I do believe. I think we've got to use every single tactic at our disposal to defeat the health care bill. And we have to do...
Even if it's something like that, a picture of inmates at Dachau?
If you'll let me finish, Phil. The inmates at Dachau are an example of what happens when a government doesn't take care of its people. If you don't have... I don't mean to be facetious, but... Obviously, the Jewish people in Germany were not going to be given health care. And in point of fact, they weren't going to be given anything.
No, they were trying to kill them.
Yes, I understand that. But I will tell you this much. If we can use that image to illustrate to people that this health care plan is going to wind up killing a lot of people, then I take my hat off to the people who died at Dachau, that they... did not die in vain, that we are able now to use those terrible images, as horrible as they are.
Now, I want to hold on for a minute, Steve.
As horrible as they are, I want to finish your... I'm not afraid of answering your question, Phil.
No, I know that you're not, but I want to interrupt you, because I may not be hearing what I think I'm hearing. Are you telling me that the use of Holocaust images in protesting the health care plan by some people in the Tea Party movement is legitimate?
It is unfortunate. It is something that I wish we didn't have to do.
No, but I'm saying it's legitimate.
I'm telling you that it is done out of respect to the people that died at the camp that you were mentioning, the
Dachau.
At Dachau, and the other camps that we know about. Out of respect to them, we are saying that we are happy. That they die. We're not happy that they died, but if they were going to die, then I'm glad that they did, so that we could see what a government run amok can do to its people.
But are you trying to? Are you honestly trying to tell me?
No, don't get overexcited. You're going to start to sound like this guy, this Sanders from Connecticut.
No, but I've got to tell you, man, I'm a little bit. Are you trying to tell me that the Holocaust image is a legitimate image?
I think I answered your question.
Well, you said it's unfortunate.
The use of these pictures have been very effective. So I got to tell you, in a way, the Tea Party protesters like myself, and I say this with the greatest of respect for the sacrifices of everyone in World War II, we can appreciate the sacrifice of the dead Jews in that context. And I'm not saying that I'm glad that they died. Obviously I'm not. And no one in the Tea Party movement is saying that. We're simply saying that if they were going to kill Jews, then, well, a lot of the ways
See, to me it sounds like you're stuck.
No, I'm not stuck. I'm trying to find a way to say it so that I'm not called a racist or an anti-Semite.
I got to tell you, I haven't used the word. I could use the word insensitive.
I think it's insensitive for Obama to try to shove a health care plan down the throats of the American people that at the end of the day will have millions of our seniors looking exactly like that pile of bodies in that picture.
And you really, really, really believe that?
I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. Look, those Jews were going to die anyway in Nazi Germany, so we're glad that we can at least use their deaths and images to stop a socialist like Obama putting into place his own Obamacare that could very well wind up with that eventuality. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm saying that if we have the images, we use them to educate people as do a government run amok. And when I wrote and I say in your program, I'm not glad those Jews died at all, but I'm saying what better time for them to die than when they did so that we have those images is all I'm saying.
All right. Well, okay, so what I'm hearing from you, and I don't believe I'm misstating this, and I'll give you time to respond. you're not happy that the Jews died in World War II, but you are sort of, because you can use the images.
No, I know. I didn't say I am sort of. The Tea Party movement isn't happy the Jews died, but we appreciate their deaths from the standpoint of being able to convey a very serious message. That's different from saying that I'm glad they died. I appreciate that they are dead, and I can tell you right now, I'm very familiar with the media tactics that are used, such as these that are using with me right now, Phil.
Well, I got to tell you something. I haven't really encountered too many Tea Party people who will say forcefully and without any fear of criticism, sure, we use Holocaust images in our protests of Obama, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I don't know how many Tea Party people you talk to, but I can tell you the Tea Party movement is, to use the term happy, I'm not happy there's pictures of dead Jews, but I am not happy they died. I'm happy there are pictures of dead Jews, but I'm not happy they died. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
All right, you're happy there's pictures of dead Jews. And by the way, that is an extremely, in my opinion, disrespectful way of putting it.
What is? To say dead Jews?
You know what? I think that that word is one that is used quite frequently by anti-Semites. We say Jewish people or the Jews of Europe or something like that.
All right, the Jewish people. I'm happy there are pictures of these dead Jewish people, but I'm not happy they died. And there's a big difference there, Phil. There's a big difference. I am sorry they died. But I am also grateful, and I'm not grateful to the Nazis. I'm grateful to whichever Nazi it was that took those pictures.
So you'd have these pictures to be able to show to the American people, in your opinion, what Obamacare is going to do?
That is exactly correct, yes.
And you're very comfortable with the statement you just made.
Let me tell you, are you comfortable with the statement? Yes, I stand beside everything that I say. I stand behind everything I say. And I know that there are millions of people in the Tea Party movement that agree with me tonight.
Millions of people in the Tea Party agreement that would agree with the statement, I'm happy there are pictures of dead Jews, but I'm not happy they died.
I corrected myself and I said dead Jewish people. I speak for the Tea Party protesters, all right, a lot of them. So don't accuse us of being anti-Semitic. I think it's a standard tactic that you people use. And
no, I'm not. Look, Larry, I got to tell you something.
It's a standard tactic that a lot of you people use, and we're very familiar with it.
I got to tell you something. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm taking your words for what they mean, and I may not like them.
You know, you're twisting them around to make it sound like I think Hitler was great, that he killed Jews. I never said any such thing. I made it clear that I was not happy with with his decisions. I am not happy with that. Am I glad that he took pictures of it, or not him, but whoever? Yes, I am. So we could see what happens.
Well, from the standpoint of, we'll take a break here. I guess from that standpoint, I could probably agree with Larry to some extent. I'm glad that it was documented somehow. But anyway, our number is 877-876-PHIL. As we talk about the Senate health care debate, Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, a group that aligns itself on occasion with the Tea Party people, and we're talking about those images of the Holocaust being used by the Tea Party to illustrate what Obamacare will do. Larry is the first Tea Party person I've ever talked to who says, yes, we use them, and we use them because they will tell people what Obamacare can do, and we're grateful to the extent that the Jews died that we can use them, something like that. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover talking about health care.
Phil Henry.
You twisted everything around.
Lame. Oh, yeah, you're lame. Nothing like those cats. They're lame. They're lame. Oh, God, they need a life. They're lame. 9/11 truthers suck. Blow it out your butt.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're speaking with Larry Grover, conservatives of Kern County, on the Tea Party protesters and their use of images of the Holocaust to convey their displeasure with the health care plan. It was always my understanding, Larry, that this was an image that was frowned upon by Tea Party people, that it was only used by an extreme group of people, and that it is not a mainstream image.
I don't know about your information. I am a member of the Tea Party movement, and I don't make apologies for anything when it comes to defeating a health care bill that is going to bankrupt this country and throw us into a stone age, the likes of which America has never seen. I can tell you from speaking to a great many people in the Tea Party movement, we don't like looking at those pictures, but how else are we going to convey to the American people that this is what happens when a government doesn't take care of its people? And yes, in the case of the Jews in Germany, you're right. They were not only not taken care of, but no one wanted to take care of them.
That in and of itself makes it a rather sloppy comparison, doesn't it?
It doesn't make it a sloppy comparison. We don't want to have to use that image. We don't think that the Obama health care plan wants to take care of people so much as it wants to enrich the federal government, and as it's enriching the federal government and people like Dick Durbin, they stack the bodies of our elderly like cordwood outside the congressional halls. Yeah, that's the kind of...
That's pretty extreme.
Well, it may be... My comment is extreme, or that action?
Your comment.
No. My comment is accurate. So when I said to you, we're glad Jews died. No, we're not glad Jews died. No, we are not. We're glad that I got a picture of dead...
Jewish people, if you don't mind.
I'm sorry, of dead Jewish people, to show people what the dead Jews look like and what a government can do to its people.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here on the Phil Hendry Show. Bernie in Jersey City, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Ed. And
yes, sir.
I'd like to voice my opinion. The person,
yes, sir,
the individual that's talking on behalf of the teabaggers has all the right in the world, according to...
Well, we don't like the term teabagger. We think it makes it sound like we're...
Our Republican Party.
I think Tea Party is the accurate...
Tea Party, okay. Well, the person representing the Tea Party, he has the right to express himself the way he wants, but...
That would be me.
Huh?
That would be me.
But using Holocaust pictures as a form of propaganda against Obama... that's kind of sinking pretty low, I think.
It's unfortunate that we have to do it, but Obama leaves us no choice.
Thought of the idea of using those pictures is hitting rock bottom. Not
right,
you,
yeah, that's the point.
I would have to tell you, Bernie, I don't know how old you are, but do you want to be stacked up like cordwood right outside of Dick Durbin's office? All right, you don't want to be stacked up like cordwood, ready to go into a fire right outside Dick Durbin's office, do you?
I think you're...
that's extreme, too.
That's going to happen. It's not happening. That's not going to happen.
Yet. No, not yet.
It's a figment of your imagination and of the Tea Party's imagination. Everybody's running amok with their imagination.
Bernie, if I see you with your eyes glassed over, laying near Dick Durbin's office door...
negative, too.
It's weird. It's very weird, and it's very extreme. Exactly, Bernie.
There's no love in
anybody. We'll be back with more phone calls here. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Larry Grover from the Tea Party movement talking about the Holocaust pictures they use. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Truth He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Our number 877-876-PHIL. The uses of Holocaust photographs by the Tea Party people. Should there be a more forceful statement against that by those who run the Tea Party, if there's such a thing? Is it something that they actually find useful and that they see as a good thing and are not articulating that point? With us is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, who feels that they are very useful, although unfortunate to use.
And the other, Phil, you make it sound as if there's some internal debate going on in the Tea Party about the use of... No one tells anybody what to do in the Tea Party movement. There's two reasons for that. One, I don't like anyone telling me what to do, and I don't think anybody in the Tea Party per se does. And number two, it is a democratic movement. So I think it's ham-fisted. Look, the Jewish Jews died because there are pictures of the Jewish Jews that are dead, and shouldn't we put them to good use if they're already out there? Otherwise, they're in a museum in Washington, D.C.
Well, people can go and see them if you're talking about the Holocaust Museum, but to use them for a commercial purpose...
No, they're not. It's not. The reason we are using these pictures is because we don't want to see the American people turned into a bar of antibacterial soap, like a lot of what the Jewish people did in Germany. And so,
again, this extreme commentary about Americans being turned into soap, euthanasia, all of this stuff, you want to reinforce this in the minds of the American people.
We are willing to do what it takes, whatever it takes, to defeat this bill. And
even if you're lying.
You're not lying. I'll tell you who's lying. Saying that Obamacare... You heard that old guy. He said that's not going to happen, that he would be on a pallet board outside of Dick Durbin's office before they pitched him on a fire. And
What is this about Dick Durbin's office with dead people stacked up like cordwood? Obviously, you heard his commentary.
Well, if they dismantle Medicare, you're going to have more people stacked on railroad ties because of the dismantling of Medicare than you ever saw in all of the forensic photographs taken following World War II.
And again, you don't know what you're talking about.
I'm afraid I do, and I'm afraid you don't, Phil.
No, you don't. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil. And the fact that you're speaking for the entire Tea Party movement amazes me.
Well, let me tell you, there's a lot that's amazing in this world. The Tea Party movement knows what it's about. They know what I believe.
Illinois, Greg, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I just don't agree with the caller, the way he's using the pictures of dead Jews. I have. Well,
are you in favor of the Obamacare? Because if
not
you
at
are,
all. I'm extremely opposed to it. There's too many ways that we can solve the problem, the issues with health care, such as tort reform and allowing insurance companies...
I get that, but how do you get the message out there? That's the point. You can talk about tort reform, but, for instance, I'm listening to you talking about it, and it's a little...
inflammatory that has nothing to do with the issue, you know.
We've got to get the message out there.
Killing Jews during World War II has got nothing to do with, you know, just stick to the facts.
This is what I'm saying, Larry. You got a gentleman here who's opposed to Obamacare. You are, but the two of you guys seem to be on opposite sides of this thing.
Mr. Henry, this is something the media has created, that there's division within the Tea Party ranks. No, there is not. I think this gentleman understands that if Obamacare is passed, you understand, sir, that if Obamacare is passed, we've got a lot of bodies to bury. You know that, right?
I understand that the costs are going to go through the roof. The government,
and we're going to have a lot of bodies to bury.
It can't run the post office. It can't run cash for clunkers, for crying out loud. Medicare is broken.
Yeah.
The state is broke.
Absolutely.
Post office
can't run the army. Can't run the navy.
$1 billion in debt.
Can't run anything.
Can't
I agree
run
with
anything.
You. Can't run the Marines. Nothing. They stink at everything. And I'm telling you, I want to privatize the military.
You got to be kidding.
Why am I kidding?
Privatize the military?
You heard what the gentleman said, and I agree. The government can't do anything right.
That's the next step.
The military is one of the few things that the government should handle.
But they screw it up. They always screw it up. And my idea is to privatize the military.
Guys like Clinton and Obama tearing it down and defunding our military.
So
Greg, you're opposed to the use of these Holocaust images, huh? And I think most people in the Tea Party are opposed to it.
Inflammatory, and it has nothing to do with the issue.
Well, you just said to me, you just said a lot of people are going to be stacked up like cordwood if Obamacare passes.
No, he didn't.
He didn't say that at all. That's what the other gentleman said.
No, you said, Larry, that the gentleman said that the costs were going to go through the roof.
Which means people can't afford the health care, which means old people are found. Now, there's a difference between dying in front of your loved ones with people who love you at your side and being found. And we're going to have more old people found.
What do you mean, found?
You want me to be graphic?
Yes. What do you mean old people are going to be found?
I mean there's going to be a smell in the apartment building.
All right. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. In other words, their bodies are going to rot.
That's what I'm talking about. And if I can tell you, Phil, because I used to work very, very briefly in a mortuary, not in a mortuary, for a coroner's office, and the smell of a body that's been sitting around for a couple of weeks, I can tell you right now, it's nothing that you'd want to slap on your face after a shave. It is nothing like that.
I understand that, and to put it the way you old people are going to be found, again, is the same rhetoric. It's going to be a big Holocaust. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on to Jim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Phil.
The smell of the dead.
This is a very disturbing conversation that you're having with this person right now. I'm a Jew, and I'm also in the greater Boston area, and you cannot compare the Tea Party movement with the Holocaust. There absolutely is no parallel whatsoever.
I'm not. I'm not doing that. I'm comparing Obamacare to it. I'm comparing Obamacare to the stacking them up.
The general perspective of the Tea Party movement, if you're calling it the Tea Party was associated with the independence of the United States from the British. And that was associated with oppression.
That's what they claim, yeah.
Right.
What do you mean that's what they claim? That's exactly what what do you mean that's what they claim?
All I'm saying is that the Tea Party was associated with the independence of the United States from the British government. Now, this person...
So they say.
Holocaust, and he's trying to parallel the Holocaust associated with the Tea Party movement. They are two totally separate and unique, distinct concepts. They have nothing to do with each other. The Obamacare situation...
Except for Obamacare is going to have people stacked up on railroad ties.
When you say that you don't... You know, Larry, it's one thing to have the pictures, and then you say they're going to be stacked up on railroad ties.
Well, this gentleman, do you agree with my position on Obamacare, sir?
As far as what Obamacare is about, it relates to the elderly, and it relates to whether or not the elderly are going to be able to get the...
Exactly. Exactly.
And if they don't get the appropriate care, then they will die. But that is not the same as putting someone into a gas
and turned into soap.
Or into a chamber where they fire them and they die.
That what about turning them into soap?
Actually physically takes people and puts them somewhere to kill them. What the United States government is doing is not killing people. What they are doing is setting policy. There's a difference between the two.
Very good point, yeah.
Look, I think it's anti-Semitic, if you want my honest opinion. It's anti-Semitic to
absolutely
be against using these pictures, to be against
absolutely
these pictures, because we could be using the pictures of these dead Jewish Jews. We could be using these pictures instead of them collecting dust in a museum.
Oh, man.
It's just
they don't collect.
Actually compare the two. There is no relationship between
the
two.
I'm not comparing the two. Well, you missed my... I'm not comparing the two.
No, I know you're not, but this other
Tea Party
movement is,
I am the other person from the Tea Party movement.
I'm me.
And I'm saying that the Tea Party movement is not the Holocaust. We're trying to prevent what happened to the Jewish Jews, the Jewish Jews of Germany.
Jews, right. Jewish people.
What does that got to do with health care?
Because if Obamacare is passed, people are going to be found. The smell up and down the block. This is what I'm saying. The understanding.
You're saying elderly people will have no health care at all to the point where they won't even be able to get out of bed and they'll die in their beds and won't be found for weeks.
That is my fear, yes.
So
that's my fear.
You're saying that an elderly person who doesn't get health care is the same as putting someone in a gas chamber.
I believe in, yes. As my daughter likes to say, you squint your eyes real hard.
That is
ridiculous.
You cannot parallel those two.
You're talking about that as a national program of murder as opposed to perhaps a neglectful government that isn't quite getting it right. And people die as the result.
Democracy. We also have a democracy that will allow us to be able, as a group of people, to allow us to voice our opinion. Whereas the Jews had no choice; they were put into that position, and they were killed without.
And the gentleman from Boston. This gentleman says he's Jewish. Is that correct?
This gentleman, yes, sir. You're Jewish, isn't that right, Jim?
Yes, I am. I'm Jewish. Yeah. Boston,
well, I'm shocked. I am stunned. I'm stunned.
I understand the Jewish concept, and you cannot compare the policy of elderly for health care to putting people in a gas chamber and killing them.
I'm very shocked because I felt that I was supporting the Jewish people by saying that getting these pictures out there, at least they're doing some good.
They're doing a lot of good where they are in museums and in the historical record where people see the evidence of this crime. And to put them on a poster and parading them around.
Mr. Henry, you're being anti-Semitic by keeping this Jewish man from talking while you butt in.
You've been butting in with him.
I'm saying that you're comparing
you don't know it too good.
Health care policy. There is no parallel to the two.
Right. Very good points, Jim. I got to take a break. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Do you have some official connection to them?
To who?
The Tea Party.
We support the Tea Party aim of defeating Obamacare, and we use pictures of the Holocaust to show people what it could be like if an entire rooming house of elderly people were left without Medicare. It would look and smell like that. And yet I'm the bad guy.
I don't think you even know what it is you're talking about.
I know very well.
We'll take a break. 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County on the use of Holocaust images in promoting the Tea Party movement. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, wait a minute.
Phil.
I don't know that you're in the Tea Party movement.
877-876-PHIL. We're back here with Larry Grover. Mr. Grover supports the Tea Party aims of defeating the health care plan, of shrinking government, of getting rid of all of this taxation, and also has been openly supporting the use of the images, photographs, and such from the Holocaust in promoting this. And you've heard even people who support your point of view. You've heard that gentleman who supports your point of view, a Jewish gentleman, saying, this is completely off base.
I think, I got one way of answering that, Phil. Am I on a radio show right now? Am I talking to you? Am I on a national radio show right now? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't understand.
The fact that we're using those images to drive home the point of view, that is, we are proud of the Jews who died, and we use those pictures to show people what Obama wants to do. And I want to give you one other thing. For the people that are listening right now, if you have elderly people in your lives, your mother, your father, an uncle, or whoever, people that you love, and they are going to die, I would recommend having them cremated so that you can do what Obama, once he gets gets his ghoulish claws on them would do anyway. And you know about cremation, right?
Yeah, my father, I had my father cremated, as per his wishes.
What do they use? An oven. So don't talk to me about...
Again, a completely different point of view. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Debbie in San Antonio. Debbie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Debbie. I'm not here to challenge this gentleman, but I do have...
They do use ovens.
Excuse me? They do use ovens. Yeah. Now, he's telling me... we were talking about cremation. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I'm not talking about ovens either. I'm talking about the gentleman that you have on the radio is saying the most horrifying things I have heard in 62 years of my life on this planet. I've never heard
of... Talk to Obama about it. He's the guy that's doing it.
Let the lady finish what she's saying, Larry.
Yeah. And I will just hang up if he's going to do that. That's what I'm talking about. This person is probably the most angry...
You're not going to hang up because you're very compelled by me.
Larry, would you shut your mouth, please, and let her talk?
I'm just saying, she's compelled by me. She's not going to hang up on me.
If I will hang up if you interrupt me one more time. You are spreading so much fear and hatred. I really am very sorry that I had to hear your voice. I bless you, and I hope that things go well the rest of your life.
Bless you is another way of saying drop dead. So she didn't bless me at all. She told me to go straight to the... She told me to go and get my tea time at 6:30 on the new North Course in Hell. That's what she told me to do.
877-876-PHIL. It's very interesting to me, Larry, that you have a... I don't know what it is, a dead spot in your consciousness listening to what people are trying to say to you about this. Here is Mike in Nashville. Go ahead, Mike.
People are not hearing what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I hope you can hear me all right. I'm driving down here.
I can hear you. Yes, sir. I can hear you.
You know, I understand that there's radicals and kind of every belief out there, but I don't understand how this guy is associating himself with the Tea Party movement, because it's nothing to do with intellect or moving a cause forward. This is just graphic disgust, I guess would be the easiest way to say it, and keeping it clean, you know? I don't get the relationship between what he's trying to do and what we're trying to do.
Well, are you? This is Larry Grover, sir. You are in the Tea Party movement, so you understand that Obamacare would expand Medicare to the breaking point, thus leaving millions of our seniors out in the cold, out in the dust. If you have seen film footage of war refugees wearing babushkas and pulling carts with water buffalo, that's pretty much what Obama wants to consign our elderly to. Only a step further. He'd like to see them dead in a ditch so that they're easily scooped up with an earth mover. And
What is the point of all of this extreme imagery?
Because that's what's going to happen when Medicare is bankrupt.
Not a lot of people dead in a ditch. God.
Not at all. You know, they're already complaining, and Medicare's bankrupt in another 4 years anyway.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
They're just going to have to come up with another solution. What you're trying to promote is just awful. I mean, it's graphic disgust. That's the only way to
look at it. Look at Mike. Don't you see that the liberals want us to fight within the Tea Party movement? You should be supporting me, not disagreeing with me. Because the liberals are
nothing.
They're loving it. They're loving it.
No, they're not. You're so far off the other side that you just need to come back to reality.
The things that you're saying, Larry, the Holocaust pictures, Larry, that you endorse using, I get the feeling that most people in Tea Party do not like seeing those images.
Well, then why was it I was standing there holding one for an hour and a half and nobody said anything to me? Yeah. You know why? Because I think a lot of people wish they had my guts. And all I'm saying is, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm saying that... What?
This fight is wrong with intellect. You know, that's the only way to do it, with the votes, the ballot box. What you're trying
to do
is kid moving and nothing. It's just upsetting people. One thing's got nothing to do with the other.
I don't go around apologizing for things, and I've been disgusted by the Tea Party apologizing over and over for using a couple of photographs of some stiffs in a ditch.
And
stiffs in a ditch.
I didn't mean to say that. You know what I think is, and I know we're running out of time, right?
Yeah.
See, that's unfair. You cornered me into making a stupid comment knowing that I had no chance to respond to it in any intelligent or witty way. How I hate you.
Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back here with Raj Vanin.
Phil Hendry.
And somebody else.
At talkradionetwork.com.